Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Michael Reyna, Chairman of the Board and Chief Executive Officer of the Farm Credit Administration. Joining us in our conversation is Deborah Kammer, another PwC partner.
Michael, earlier you described your stakeholders. I'm wondering if you could describe for us how you balance the diverse interests that all of them must have.
Very simply, in two words, very carefully. I think that that's actually a very, very good question, because there are a number of diverse interests. There's not uniform agreement on what direction we should take as an agency or what direction the system should be headed in either. And I think it boils down to a couple of things, and it's really how we do our business. And we have monthly board meetings. We publish our agendas and invite comment through the Federal Register process. That ensures that we are operating in a transparent way with the public, so that there's a high degree of confidence that there's no gamesmanship that's going on, and that people understand and know that when they make a comment on a rule that's pending before our board, that we're going to take that into consideration, that it will not be discounted or ignored in our process. We had a very contentious issue recently that came before our board, nominally known as national charters. It was a way to expand the or bring down the territorial barriers that exist with the chartered territories. And there was a lot of, I think, based on the comments that we received while that rule was pending before the board, I think there was a lot of disbelief or mistrust on part of some of the commenters, that we wouldn't really seriously consider their comments. And notwithstanding the fact that we had a proposal before the board, and I never did not make up my mind until it was time to do that before the board. And so I think keeping an open mind, making sure that the public knows that that we want their comments, that we analyze and evaluate their comments, and that it all feeds into the decision-making process. That's really what we do at our board meetings, is we make decisions. And the way we make good decisions is that we get lots of good, diverse opinions that come to us.
You mentioned frequently the process. I'm wondering if you could describe from beginning to end how you set the policy agenda for the board.
Well, it's a collaborative process with the board members themselves. And again, we have a variety of ways of doing that, including planning sessions, off-site planning sessions that give us an opportunity to hear from experts about what's going on. We then take that information that's gleaned from our own staff and from outside experts, and we try to have a good list of folks come in and talk to us on a regular basis, so that it's an ongoing process. But then we take that information, we go away, and we discuss it, and we establish what our priorities are as a board. We have a strategic plan that leads to the development of our performance plan, and we use those opportunities to paint the big picture, and then we work with our staff closely to paint a more refined picture to set the actual agenda that comes to our board. And all of that is drives all of the work that we do on a regulatory front. It's quite amazing how that it all gets done, quite frankly, because it's quite a daunting task.
There's inevitably more projects and more items on the agenda than there's time. How do you resolve conflict and figure out what gets deferred or accelerated?
You know, a lot of that, we rely heavily on the judgments that the staff brings to us when they are working on projects. We've got a really interesting we talked about in the last segment about technology. We've got a very sophisticated time tracking system that allows the board to have a high degree of confidence that its priorities are being worked on by the staff. The staff uses the system, managers, so supervisors use the system to really take a look at, say, for example, one regulation is viewed as a project, so they can budget the amount of time that their staff is going to work on that project, and then they feed back to us on a regular basis whether they're on track or you know, behind or ahead of schedule. And a lot of that depends on the complexity of the issues that they're dealing with. You know, a lot of the work that we do is in the regulatory area is cutting edge in some cases, and so there's legal issues that come up that have to be looked at and resolved. There's major policy issues, and sometimes information has to be gleaned or gathered from other sources so that, again, when it is presented to the board, we've got the best information available at the time to make great decisions.
Well, tell us more about how the FCA is managed. Let's begin with just the geographic dispersion. You earlier told us you're headquartered in McLean, but you have offices throughout the country. How do you simply manage a group that's not all in one building?
Well, fortunately, we've got a very talented and dedicated staff. And so they know their job, and they do it well. And so actually from a manager-supervisor role, it's actually easier than some of the other organizations I've ever worked in. So we're blessed in that sense. But you still have the distance to overcome. And we do that, again, with technology. We have instituted in the last couple of years a video conferencing units within each of our offices. And that has dramatically resulted in improvements in the way that we manage and supervise. We're able to do all sorts of training using that equipment. We've got lots of requirements like other government agencies do on in terms of providing ethics training and other, you know, human resource types of training, EEO training and the like. And so we're able to provide that high-quality training at a very low cost, because otherwise people would have to jump on a plane and come into McLean, our headquarters, where we would have the resources to provide that training. So I'm excited about that, and it has really, again, goes hand in hand with having a great staff and then having the technology to for them to use and for us to use in empowering them and assisting them to do their jobs.
How did you get such a great staff? Is there something special about the way you hire or the mission that attracts?
Well, actually, I'll share a little secret with you. Financial regulatory agencies are outside the GS pay system, and by that I mean that we have been allowed by Congress to pay over and above what people get paid in the GS system. So we are able to attract folks because we can pay better than what federal government can pay. And that's helped. But I also think that we have tried to create a very positive work environment, too. And we've done that in a variety of ways of again, trying to stay competitive, because we actually have a statutory requirement to maintain comparability in terms of pay and compensation with the other financial regulators. And so we have benchmarked our work-life programs, our benefit programs, and our compensation against our peer group. And my goal is to create a work environment that is second to none. And I think the employees know that. So our attrition rate, I think, is probably a little bit lower than what you might find at a regular federal agency. And in recruiting, it really helps, because I can say, and we can say, to potential hirees that, you know, we've got a great organization. And we've introduced here recently, in the last couple of years, what we call a peer award system that really focuses on the values and the virtues that the employees feel are important to them. And it has really had an opportunity, I mean, it's resulted in changing the culture of the agency. We have ways to go, but it has made remarkable change. In a regulatory environment where you deal with lots of rules, there's a rule for everything. And actually, at our agency, and I'm going to make sure that the rule goes away, at our agency, we've got a rule on what size note cards can be used on our bulletin boards. You cannot write enough rules to address every single issue that is out there, whether it's the rules that we write for the Farm Credit System or it's the rules we write for our own employees. And so my emphasis has really been to work with the employees to create a system that can serve as a compass for them when there is no rule. I ask employees to submit values and virtues that they believe are important. We then ask employees to vote on those that they feel are most important, and we came up with 12, things like honesty and responsibility, and the list goes on, integrity. And we then invited nominations. You know, nominate one of your peers that you believe their behavior, their activity has embodied that value or that virtue. And we remove the names of the nominees, and we put before all employees the behavior, the actions, and we ask them in the different categories to vote on what action best defines that value or virtue. In fact, when the winners were announced, people said, you know, that really does reflect that person. And so it took the personality contest out of the awards program. And what it has done is it's encouraged employees to focus on the values and virtues that they find are important that can guide them when there is no rule on the books. And so that's we've had dramatic success in changing the culture at the organization.
It's time for a break. Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue our conversation with Michael Raina of the Farm Credit Administration. This is the Business of Government Hour.